We're going to read that text in just a minute. All right, so we are going to do something sort of unique today. We've done this one time before a while back, but the traditional way that we go about it is we teach through books of the Bible, or we teach exegetically, like take a chunk of scripture and break it down, even if we're discussing a topic. But we thought that it would be wise today to kick off this new series on nominal Christianity in a way that would be interactive. And sometimes when you come to church, it's appropriate for you to come and just sort of consume, to hear what God wants you to hear. And generally speaking, that's the pattern. But I do think that there are times that it's really good for you to move around and for you to engage in the Lord in a personal way. And so we're going to try to do that today in about three different ways. But what we're going to study over the next 7 or 8 weeks is a topic. We titled the series, Christianity as God Intended It to Be. So if you're not familiar with the term nominal Christian, or some people would say cultural Christian, what that means is somebody who identifies as a Christian in name, but they do not have a genuine or a personal relationship with Jesus. So their faith is more about tradition or culture or convenience or even family than it is about actually following Jesus and obeying his commandments. And a lot of nominal Christians, they might go to church on a regular basis. They might have some like Christian values. They might check that box, but their heart is not necessarily surrendered to Christ. And so we thought it would be wise to open up this whole series, taking a day and us praying together for that series. And you guys have heard me say this a lot of times. We have a lot of people in our community that may be atheist or from another religion, but those are a small percentage of the population in Putnam County. The vast majority of people right now that are far from Jesus and are not plugged into a church would say that they are Christians, and they would say that they have positive attitude towards Jesus. And so those are the people that we want to reach. That's the mission field. And so because it's such a big deal in our community, we just want to spend this day seeking God's face on this topic. So we're going to do three things, sort of three phases of praying together. One is we're going to spend some time confessing sin. We're going to do it individually, and we're going to do it corporately, and we're just going to spend some time on our knees before God. The second thing we're going to do is we're going to eliminate hurry. We're going to try to just be still before the Lord together. And the last thing we're going to do is we're going to break up into groups in the room, and we're going to pray. And so I understand that for some of you guys, this might feel kind of uncomfortable. And just so you know, I would much rather preach for 35, 40 minutes. That'd be easier for me. But I just think there's power in us engaging with the Lord individually and corporately together. So let me read Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is going to be sort of the heartbeat behind everything that we're going to do in the coming minutes. So I'm going to read just the first 5 verses. Here's what it says. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and whose spirit there is no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heart of summer. I acknowledge my sin to you, and I do not cover my iniquity. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to do something that's a little bit liturgical. So if you grew up Anglican or Presbyterian, you're going to like this. But if you grew up Baptist, it's going to be weird. So what we mean by that is that we're going to pray a prayer together corporately that's rooted in Psalm 32. I read a lot about the way the Puritans, or even John Calvin and Thomas Cranmer, some other old school church fathers, the way that they would corporately read prayers to confess sin. And some of those prayers are really kind of like difficult to follow, and so we kind of wrote our own. And so if you'll stand up, we're going to put the prayer on a screen. You're going to stand just for the sake of us focusing on, and we're going to do this together, okay? So this is going to be awkward if I'm the only one reading. I'm going to try to read at a slow pace so that we can do this together, okay? Here we go. Lord, we confess our sin to you. We've hidden, but it's only made us heavy and tired. You see it all, so we bring it to you now. Thank you that in Jesus our sin is covered, our guilt is gone, and our joy is restored. Amen. All right, you guys can be seated. You guys can be seated. The one I read from John Calvin was about 2 pages, so you're welcome for only reading a paragraph. So not only do we want to do that corporately, but I want you to go down and look at verse 5 of Psalm 32. Notice the verbiage that he uses. He says, I acknowledge my sin to you. He says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. I do not cover my iniquity. So what we're going to do for the remainder of this time together is we are going to actually do what that text read. We're going to confess sin. So the way that I would like for this to go, if you're willing to do this, is in a minute, I want you to stand. You don't do it right now. And I want you to come down front. It's going to be kind of crowded up here, so maybe some of you in the back, if you want to just go in the back. And if you're able, I want to encourage you to get on your knees. And we're going to have a time of just confession between you and the Lord. And this is a chance for you to do it kind of individually. We just did it corporately, and so now I want you to do this alone with God. Confessing sin should be a regular habit of a Christian. And there's different ways that we wrestle with sin. So for some of us in this room, maybe the sin that needs to be confessed is something that we've been hiding, which means this isn't like debatable. This isn't like something that you would even like argue about. You know that it's wrong and you've just been hiding it. I read a quote from a pastor named Dietrich Bonhoeffer who said, "He who is alone with his sin is utterly alone." So maybe that's where you are. Sin is something that you've been kind of holding on to and you've been keeping it under the lid. And today before God, you just need to bring it out into the light. Or maybe for you, it's not necessarily this blatant sinful thing that you've been caught in. But if the edge of this stage is like falling off the deep end of falling into sin, on this side is following and obeying Jesus, you're right up on the edge. And so maybe for you, it's not like straight up messed up things that you're caught up in, but you're just right on the fringe. You're getting as close as you can without actually breaking God's law. And God's convicted you about that. Maybe for you, you're in a really good place spiritually. You're like, I'm not hiding sin, and I don't feel like I'm on the fringe. And so maybe for you, this is a time for you just to get before God and to just confess the fact that you were born in sin, but God still loves you. And so in a minute, I'm going to ask you to come do that. And this is going to sound strange, but I felt like God wanted me to say this. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 through 24, the text says that Jesus tells his disciples that if you are at the altar of God, worshiping him, and God brings to your mind that you have sinned against somebody, then he actually says you should leave the worship place, the altar, and go make it right with the person that you sinned against. So as we fill this altar, we fill the back, we fill the aisles of just us being on our knees, praying before God, confessing sin, maybe God in his kindness to you is going to show you that you've sinned against somebody. Maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your kids. Maybe you're here and you're a teenager or a kid and you've realized you've been disrespectful to your parents. Whatever that looks like, but I would encourage you, maybe during this time of just confession, you need to go to them and you need to say, I've sinned against you. And God's brought that to light, and I just want to confess that to you to honor God and to serve him. Maybe you need to slip out the back and make a phone call. Maybe you need to pull your phone out and send a text message to somebody to apologize. But the point is, we want this time to be filled with people that belong to Jesus confessing sin. And just in theme of being a nominal Christian, do you know what they hate? They hate confessing sin, especially when they know that they've done it. And so our desire in this time is for us as believers to just call sin, sin before a holy God. Then after we get done, James and his team is going to lead us in a beautiful song about how deep the Father's love is for us. So let me pray for us really quickly, and then I want you to actually stand and move around and let's confess sin together, okay? So God, I just pray that you'd be with us right now. There is not a single person in this room that's perfect. The only person that could have a time like this and never say that they did something wrong was you, Jesus. But we all have things that we can bring before you. And so would you do that in our hearts right now? It's in your name I pray. Amen. All right, so please stand, come fill the front and just spend time with the Lord. Confess sin. If you're in the back, you can get on your knees in the back. If you're not able, your knees are bad, you can pray where you are. I understand that also. So let's fill the room confessing sin.
Father's love for us held us beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Ooh, it's finished. It is finished. Oh, it is finished. Oh. What should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart.
Yeah.
His wounds have paid my ransom. What should I gain from his reward? I can't. Yes, this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
You guys can be seated. All right, so here's the second thing that we're going to do. In just sort of a spirit of prayer, we're going to try to slow down even more. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I feel like I've got too much going on my calendar. As a matter of fact, just this last week, I've been pretty sick the last couple of days, and I'm not saying that for sympathy, even though I do like sympathy when I'm sick. I just like being coddled and taken care of. You guys know what I'm saying? So pray for Audrey. She's the one that you really need to pray for, because when I'm sick, I am dramatic, and I know that I am. It's weird as I don't really care either, but so I've been sick for a couple of days, and my job is such, there's some things I can delegate, but there's some things I can't delegate, and all the work I should have been doing on those couple of days just have kind of piled up. And so I've just found, even just in my own head, just thinking of all the things, making the list that I've got to get done. And I shared with you a few weeks ago when we studied the story of Martha and Mary, and we looked at how Martha was so busy doing good things that she missed the best thing, which is Jesus. We studied that text, and we just said how we don't want to be like Martha. We want to be like Mary. We want to be desiring to be with Jesus and to dwell with him. So that's what we want in this sort of time, for this phase, this time slot, is for you to just slow down and to just connect with Jesus. And I shared with you a quote a few weeks ago from Dallas Willard that he said, "Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day." And I told you guys then, and I think it's true now, that if you went around this room and said, "Why are you not reading your Bible on a regular basis? Why are you not leading family devotions, praying on a regular basis?" Most people would not say, "Because I think that stuff's dumb." Most people here would say, "I'm not doing those things because I've just got a lot going on. I've been distracted. I'm busy. I'm hurried." And so what we want to do in this time is we want to just slow down and to give you a chance right where you sit to connect with Jesus and to be with him. So we're going to do it kind of in a way, for some of you it's going to be uncomfortable, but we think it's important, is we're going to try to make it completely silent in the room. There's not going to be any music. There's going to be nobody talking. There might be the sound of a kid like making noise, but that's okay. We've got a lot of kids in our church. Some of the kids might be my kids. But the goal is that we would just be silent before God, to just pray to him and to be with him. I've realized there's a lot of people that have grown up in church and they've never been taught to do that, to just be with Christ. A lot of people who have grown up in church, they'd rather be part of a program than to just dwell with the God that has saved them. And so I want you to do that now. And I'm going to give you some guidance in this, okay? So the beginning of Psalm 32. So yes, the vast majority of this psalm is about confessing sin, but look at verses 1 and 2. It said, "Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. And blessed is the man against the Lord counts no iniquity." So what the psalmist is proclaiming there, David, is he's saying, God has saved me from my sin. See, the gospel is this message that whatever was confessed, whatever was unconfessed, and whatever might even still be hidden, Jesus loves you and has died for you. That there's no sin that you could have in your life that would make the God in heaven look at you and say, "I'm not going to have anything to do with you." There's nothing that we can do to make God not love us, because we can't sin more than he loves. And so what I want to ask you to do during this time of reflection is to just be with Christ, specifically reflecting on the fact that he has forgiven you and he doesn't hold your sin against you. Isn't that good news? Because if God held our sin against us, then we'd be in trouble. But we serve a God that has chosen to put our sin on his son Jesus on the cross, to give us what we need the most, which is forgiveness of sins. And so in this time frame, I just pray that you would spend time thanking God that he has saved you, that he's forgiven your sin, that he did for you what you could not do for yourself. And during this time frame, we're just going to reflect on the beauty and the majesty of who Jesus is. And it's going to be quiet. And I would say lean into the quietness and spend time with the Lord to reflect on that. So if you bow your heads and close your eyes, we're just going to be still before the Lord, thanking him for his forgiveness. All right, guys. All right, here's the last thing that we want to do together. We're going to spend the rest of our time doing this. We want to spend some time getting together in groups here in this room, and we want to pray with one another. And I want to offer just some direction into specific things that I want you to pray for. So let me show you what we are going to be studying over the next 8 weeks. So next week we're going to begin to dig into the Word, and I try to identify for a lot of people who would say that they're church-going people or Christians, their attitude towards sin is they kind of treat sin like it's no big deal. So we just want to address that. We want to look at what God's Word has to say about that. Another identifying marker of a nominal Christian is they kind of have this perspective that their opinions or their truths are greater than God's truth and God's Word. A lot of people in that category, they would say Jesus is one of many ways to heaven. At the end of this month, we're going to have a baptism service. Cool story about that, friends, is when we put that on the calendar, we had zero people ready to be baptized. And as of last week, we have three people that are going to get baptized. I sat in my office on Monday with a gentleman who said, God's telling me I need to go do this. So that's where we're going to meet for church that day. So we're all going to be together and celebrate the Lord, worship Him, and see some people follow the Lord in believers' baptism. The beginning of September, we're going to study how a lot of people have a perspective that the church is about consuming. It's about you come here and you drop your kids off, and then you don't really do anything else besides sit. But the body of Christ is more than that. The body of Christ is about us working together for a mission that is bigger than you, it's bigger than me. The week after that, we're going to study. This is going to be a fun one. That politics are more important than God's mission. You say no church people believe that. Well, they might not say it, but that's how they act. That's how they behave. They got way more posts on Facebook about their political views than they do about the gospel or Christ and His Word. So pray for me on that one. And last of all, is when pain and suffering comes, we just stop following Jesus. So here's how I want to ask you to pray, two specific ways. One, I want to ask you to pray for me in the coming weeks. I want you to ask, pray for James, and pray for the people in First Impressions, and pray for the people in Kids. Pray for everybody during this whole series that we would honor Christ and the gospel would go forth. And every song that we sing and every word that is spoken from behind this pulpit would be exactly what the Lord wants. That's how you can pray for us. That we would just obey Jesus in this. And that we would see people in our church come to faith in Christ. So that's the first way. You're just going to pray for our church. Pray that we would honor Him in this series. And the second thing I want you to pray for is I want you to pray for people that you know are in this category. And maybe there's people in this room. Maybe there's people attached to your family. Maybe people you work with. But you know names that a lot of those things I just read topically describes their belief system or their faith. And so it's so important that we do not communicate that we're angry at them or we're mad at them or we're hostile to them. Our heart is they would see there's something better than that kind of fake version of Christianity. That if they would bow their knee to Jesus, that that's the fullness of life that God would have for them. Half-heartedly following Jesus is not following Jesus. And so if we in our groups will pray for our church during this series, and we will pray for our loved ones and family members and coworkers. Maybe you want to name them by name. You pray for them also. So in just a second, you guys are going to divide up into groups. And so this is so important. If you are a really new Christian, or you are not a Christian at all, or this is your first week here, my guess would be you have anxiety at the thought of having to be in a group and praying out loud, okay? Nobody's going to pressure you. Nobody's going to awkwardly squeeze your hand to make sure that you have to pray, okay? If you're a new Christian, or you're not a Christian at all, we want to love you, and you can just be in the group, and you can just pray silently. But if you're here, and you're sort of a veteran, you've been a Christian for a while, I hope that you'll lead in prayer in these groups. And also, if you're here, and you're a veteran, you look around the room, and maybe there's a person or a group of people that doesn't have anybody praying with them, and you want to invite them into your group, you want to kind of love on them well, and show some hospitality. So I've been praying that all of that would happen in this time, that we would fill this room with us corporately praying together, that God might be so kind to us that the preaching of his word, according to his word, changes lives. The Bible says that the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord is going to live forever, that it won't return void, that if we as a church will just tell people what God says, God will grow his church through that. We could be bad at a lot of things. We can't be bad at that. And if we could just fill this room just praying for this series, praying for our loved ones that need Jesus, I think God's going to honor that in the coming weeks. And I think God's going to be pleased with that. All right, so what you got to do is you got to get up, you got to be hospitable, you got to like each other, and you got to talk to each other. And then spend time praying in those two things. Do that now, and then we're going to close out singing together, and our time will be done, okay? So go, pray together.